Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here. My name's Nathan. Welcome to Emmaus. Raise your hand if you like sermon notes page. This will be helpful to follow along today, give you some space to write down insights that you're gathering, ideas that you're having, things you don't want to forget. Speaking of don't forget, we will not be here next Sunday. Don't forget that. We'll be at the park. We'll be at McBean Park all together at 10 o'clock in the morning for our 20th anniversary celebration. We'll have a worship gathering at the gazebo at McBean Park, followed by a big barbecue dinner, or I should say lunch. Depends on part of the country you're from. And we'll share that together. We've got cards. If it's helpful to remember or to remind yourself, there's cards on the way out today. Also, there's plenty of these. If you'd like to invite somebody, please do. This is a great opportunity to just be out on the lawn and get to know a bunch of people. So make sure that if there's somebody on mind, somebody on your street, somebody in your family, you'd like to invite out to the church, next week would be a great week to do that. I wanted to just say happy Mother's Day to my mom. Appreciate you. Yeah. Appreciate your long, long, long time of strong, strong, strong support. Your confidence-building presence in my life. There's wisdom that you have, specifically, and I think that many of you have, simply by virtue of sharing life with your kids for so long, and we just honor that together this morning. So thank you. I'm glad you've joined us. We've got a great morning lined up. Leah McKinney is our kids director, and she's going to be leading us through a series of a conversation this morning. So thank you. Can you welcome Leah with me?
Hi. Thanks. You three want to come on up and join me up here. We're going to have a fun morning. As we get started, I wanted to say two things. I probably can say more than two things. So I've asked these women to join me. I asked them different questions about different topics. So we're just going to share that with you. It was such a great conversation. So I'm so glad that we can extend that and celebrate Mother's Day this way. But I wanted to just start with two thoughts. One, I know that Mother's Day is a tender day for many people for many different reasons. And so if you're online or you're here and you've chosen to spend this day with us, thank you. And we've prayed over you today. I've prayed over you today. So thank you for spending this day with us. Secondly, today is for everybody. We're talking about Mother's Day, but we're not talking about Mother's Day. We're talking about different topics, but I've picked themes that apply to us all as we're in this journey, becoming formed by Jesus, being shaped by Jesus. And sometimes our role or our season gives us this unique front seat view to a topic or a conversation that is different because of our role or our season. So that's kind of the lens we're getting from today. This is Gentry, Mama 4, from like 10-ish to 19-ish. Yeah, is that right? Okay, Bridget, to 11. It's 11. I knew that, because mine is 12, and I'm like, he's a year behind her. Okay, sorry about that. Bridget, mom of 2 young adult men, and Stephanie, mom to a newborn, on the front row, on the front lines of the newborn years. We had another mom with us that's supposed to be here who has grandkids, and she wasn't able to. She got sick. So we're going to miss that lens a little bit, but I'm really grateful for these women that are here, and we're just going to dive right in. When I knew I got to be a part of this gathering, the first word I thought of with motherhood was delight. I'm like, we have to talk about delight. And so that's where we wanted to start. And I asked them to share. I'm so sorry. I asked them to share a story of, or a memory or experience where they just had that pure delight over one of their kids. So I'm going to let Gentry kick us off.
Well, since it's Mother's Day, I prepared a slideshow of my kids for you guys. I just brought a few images. So these are the images that popped in my mind when I thought about this idea of delight. On the right is Ravinia in a laundry basket staring out the window. And then Ava on the left in the butterfly house that we discovered in Rome last month together. And then here's Ezra. Uh-oh, he says. He's hiking. We're hiking in Zion. Uh-oh. So this was the first hike he did with his own legs. No one had to carry him. It ended in a face plant in the mud, but he was really proud of himself. Yeah. And then the last one is Malachi. So he did things with the hand-me-down pink princess bike that my girls never even thought to do. So, yeah. Safety first at our house. So I was wondering why each of these scenes was so delightful to me. And I noticed that the girls were both appreciating and enjoying the beauty of God's creation. And the boys were just pushing themselves and testing their strength. And it reminded me that we're all image bearers. And I think when we observe our children expressing something true about an aspect of how God created them as men and women, we delight in that goodness, just like we mourn. When we see expressions of brokenness, we delight in expressions that are true. And I think it's important as parents and church community to call those things out when we see them, to help root our kids in their true identity as God's children.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
I think when I think of delight, when you asked me that right now, hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. You go. Should I go back?
Okay.
Right? No stories? I just am so delighted when I see Cooper. I'll talk about you later, Bodie, you bet. Cooper's not here. He just joined the Navy. So he's 28 and married for 4.5 years. So that was fun. But when I see him and the way he loves his wife, I think that's like the most beautiful thing. And the way God has designed him, he's just being so faithful to his wife and loving and sacrificing, and I just am in awe of that every day. Mm-hmm. Are you going to say anything on this one?
Can you talk about, and just put you right on the spot, about joining?
About what?
What you told me about joining in his delight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, so like Leah said, I'm the mom of a 76-day-old. He's 11 weeks today, so I was telling my husband, if this was a new job, I'd still be in the probationary period with no benefits yet. So we're waiting, hoping, fingers crossed. I went a long time in my life without having children, and I was fine. I was okay with it. And when I thought about, my husband and I thought about adding a child to our family, which we were already very happy, I was praying about it, and the business person in me is like, what is the point? What is the goal? What's our goal here? What are we trying to accomplish? How are we going to hit our objectives? You know, all of these things. And, you know, on paper, a lot of times, children don't make sense when it comes to money, when it comes to time, when it comes to sleep. But I heard very clearly from God, this is for your delight. Your son will bring you joy. This is for experiencing my love and the delight that I have in you in a new way. And I think it's taken me into a deeper place of understanding God's delight over me, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, and that was what I loved about delight, is that, like, kids are so easy to be, like, delighted over, but that's how God feels about us. Every one of us is his child. And so these little moments where we find a child absolutely delightful, is God is absolutely delighted over each of us. The other thing about being a parent that you all know is just this constant requirement of courage and faith. And it reminded me of the story. I actually grew up in North Carolina. I'm not from California. My parents live on a little coastal town in an area called the Outer Banks. And we go back regularly as a family. And we spent a lot of time at the beach there. And about 5 years ago, we were visiting my family, and we all decided to get to the ocean pretty late in the day. It was probably after dinner. And I'm on the beach just enjoying the sand and watching the view. And my perspective is all the kids are jumping in the water, all my kids and my cousin's kids, the whole crew. My perspective is it's getting dark. There are probably sharks. and the waves are getting big. Their perspective is they've got surfboards, they've got big, beefy cousins that are in the Navy that swim just fine, and they're going in. And so the big guys are out there past the break just putting them on the boards and shoving them in. And if you've ever watched kids try to learn to surf when the surfboard is way too big for them, they just get pummeled. And so I'm watching my younger ones just come in and fall off and get rolled, and they don't care. And it took everything in me not to entice them back to shore. Like, hey, play in the sand. Hey, let's go get ice cream. Hey, what if we went for a walk? And I'm like, Leah, this is parenting. This is a letting go over and over and over again and letting them live, because they're learning life lessons than they need to. And they love it. And they don't see what I see. They just see a chance to grow and to try again. And that is, that's not just parenting, that's life. Courage and faith and just trying again, even when you're getting rolled over by the waves. And so this regular rhythm of letting go in our life, whether it's a plan or a child, it shapes us, it forms us as disciples. And Bridget is right in the middle of that. And so if she's able, go for it and tell us where you're at.
Okay, so I already teared up, so it's over, it's done. I just want to talk a little bit more about Cooper. Sorry, buddy. When he was born, I was married, and just by circumstance, that didn't last. And just after he was born, my husband left. And 5 days later, Mom and Dad will remember this, that I decided to dedicate him to God. And I think trusting him to God was the biggest decision and smartest thing I've ever done as a mom, because our children are not ours. And I've just delighted in watching him over and over do crazy, stupid things, but know that God's got him. And so I let him go when he was 5 days old, but I also then watched him grow up and let him go again when he was graduating from high school and moving on to college. And that was big and deep. And he was hard. He was a hard kid to parent, but fun. And then I let him go again when he met Kate and got married. I feel like it was a beautiful thing to just keep watching this cycle of letting him go. And then this year, Kate and Coop decided to move home to try Northern California. And we got this really cool year of getting to know them again as adults, which was really, really awesome for my husband and I, and just a blessing. And then I had to let him go again last week. And it's all good, because God just kept showing us, look at what I'm doing in his life, look at how I'm shaping him, and he is totally God's. I'm so excited for what they're doing next, so it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, when Bridget was telling me the story, she's like, I had him on Tuesday, and I dedicated him on Sunday, and I gave him to God, and it's obvious that God's got him. You know, and that's the story for Cooper, but it's also the story for every one of us. Steph, you also had a great perspective on this.
Yeah, so a lot of the letting go or a growing in the trust, I felt like God had me kind of in the military, back to the theme, of understanding and trusting in him leading up to the birth of my son. First of all, anybody have a little charismatic background? Anybody comfortable with the moves of the Spirit? I'm going to go a little deep here. Okay, here we go. Okay. Thank you. When I was young, I had a recurring dream of having a little boy. I wasn't praying for it. I wasn't looking for it. And I didn't even take it literally. I took it like, God keeps giving me this dream. Maybe it's praying for kids. Maybe I don't know what it is. And as time went on, and I didn't get married till late in life, I thought, if this is an actual dream that God gave me, he has to do it. I can't make this happen on my own power. And I got married, and I was pregnant, and we were really excited. We found out it was a girl, so I was thinking, okay, this was just, you know, again, thinking of the dream and how this was just God giving me this vision of being a mother. We lost her at 24 weeks, but in the appointment where we found out that she wasn't going to make it, while we're waiting for the doctor to come back and give us the prognosis, God spoke to my heart, and he told me, she's mine, and her name is Eden, which means paradise, because that's where she's going. And I felt very honored that God's child, I got to be a part of God's child's life for just a short amount of time. But that set for me the precedent of trusting God as a control freak, someone who I've tried to control a lot of things in my life. It seems to me that the most important things in our life are the things that are so far out of our control. And when we found out we were pregnant with our son and now he's healthy and beautiful, I couldn't rejoice more and be more grateful that God has helped me lean into trusting him, because every single day you have to trust that God is there and he's going to sustain this little life and mm-hmm. he's going to give us what we need to parent him well. So,
yeah. Yeah, keep it, Bridget, because now you get to talk about your other kid. One of my questions was, as a parent, I felt a lot of pressure. This is probably my background. I don't know if it's everyone's background, but that I was going to mess something up. And then if I didn't make the right decision, maybe it might send my kids to the right school or homeschool or have them play lacrosse instead of soccer. Like everything felt, every little decision felt really, really weighty. And I always had the sense of like, what if I make the wrong choice and then I'm messing up their future or something? And so I'm like, I don't know if other people have that pressure, but I feel pressure to get things right. And so I asked, you know, how have you seen God be faithful to you as your kids have walked out their lives and you started telling a story? Yeah. So I'm going to give it back to Bridget.
All right. Bodie's turn. We have, Jason and I have Bodie. You guys have helped raise him. Thank you so much for all the blessings you've given to our family as we raise Bodie too. But Bodie's been working really hard, I don't know, since he was tiny, to go into the Naval Academy. That was kind of his dream. And as he started to graduate last year, we got the news that he wasn't going to get in. So that was wild, crazy for somebody who we thought was just really on that really driven goal path. And Jason and I grieved a lot, I think that May. And we weren't really sure what was going on, but Bodie's calm in all of this process. He's like, Mom, don't worry. Like, I've got this. God's got me. I'm going to stay home. I'm not sure what's going to happen next, but I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to go to college here for a year, and I'm going to try again. And I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. I was still kicking and screaming about it all, but I didn't want him to stay home and just be here. But it was the biggest blessing this year, because Coop and Kate decided to come home just after. I was kind of all in the same month that was happening, and God was just like, I don't know, knitting our family together. I just think having two kids that were 10 years apart was really cool, but also completely different. Like, our kids knew each other, but when Bodie was 8, Cooper left for college, and so they didn't know each other as men of God. And so this year has been this blessing mm-hmm. after blessing after blessing. God's like faithfulness shows so deeply in our family. Like mm-hmm. he's like, Bridge, this is what I was trying to do. I was knitting them together. And then to have a daughter-in-law in our lives and just blessing us in a different way, to see all of that come together and watch Bodie and Cooper go play golf and talk about what they're doing next and study for ASVAB tests or whatever you were doing secretly. It was beautiful, and I loved it. God showed up time and time again this year. I'm so in awe of the faithfulness that he gave to our family and the blessings. It's been really cool to watch. Yeah. And he got both nominations this year and got to choose where to go. He's going to the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, so yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, we don't always get to pick the endings, but it's awesome when they work out that way. You're like, yes, now you get a pick. All right. Whether our kids are falling on their face or whether they're being really successful, it's easy to get wrapped up with our identity. And so I asked, it's like tempting to get wrapped up with your kids. How do you navigate that? How do you stay grounded in who you are, even though you're kind of managing the life of a lot of other people in your home? Gentry had some good things to say.
Yeah, so that's definitely been a struggle for me in every stage of parenting so far. And I think when they were little, it was trying to, you know, soak it all in, don't miss anything, and take care of them and just keep up with the daily routines of our life. And now that they're older and everyone's spread out into lots of different activities and sports, I feel like in every context, I'm the minimal participation mom. I'm not organizing the fundraisers or designing the t-shirts or planning the parties or any of those kinds of things. My style is to open the email, find the sign-up genius, and scroll until I find cases of water. And I sign up for that, so there's a hack for any not type A moms out there. So sometimes looking around, that feels like failing. There can be times when looking and seeing the way that other people are mothering can be really inspiring and encouraging. And I've learned a lot about mothering and homeschooling that way. But I notice inside myself, sometimes that shifts and it turns into negativity or self-doubt and definitely comparison. And so when that starts to happen, I just have to turn off some of those inputs. And whether that be online, things coming from things I'm seeing online, or even in person, just shutting that down and refocusing on my own family and reminding myself that I am my kid's only mom, and that any amount of time that we're spending together is really worthwhile. So just focusing on the simple acts of taking care of them with the larger goal of helping them grow into people who are Christ followers has been just a reminder that that's a really worthwhile calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love, she said, any amount of time is worthwhile. And that's such a beautiful thing to hold on to. Yeah. Stephanie had a great perspective. So it wasn't too long ago, you were in an entirely different season. So you kind of talked about, and if you're up for it, talk about it again, like your heart for people in that other season and then where you are now.
Yeah. Being, again, a recent mom, I think there's a temptation to lean into, okay, now everything's going to be different and better. Everything's better. Everything's going to change. And it's true. Circumstances and the day-to-day, they change. But ultimately, if I think that I've now arrived in my promised land, I have a whole new set of difficulties and things that I wish were different. Just like I did when I was a married person, just like I did when I was a single person. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because I think there's a great temptation in whatever season we're in to wish for the next one and to think things will get better when our circumstances change, when really I think we're invited as believers to lean into the joy and the presence of God in every season that we have, believe Him, who He is, for where we are. And I also want to speak specifically to single people here. You are so loved and you belong in this church. Mm-hmm. I know for me, one of the big warring points for me to even get to church in the morning was a sense of belonging. That is something that you're going to war in your life, and it's something that's going to, the enemy's going to try to keep you from even leaning into the community of God. You belong here. The people here who are married with children love and hug and hold the singles that we have here in our presence. We should feel so honored that they are married to our Savior. They are trusting and partnering with Jesus in making every decision, every financial choice, and getting the support that they need from our Savior in heaven. Do you hear what I'm saying here? If you're a single person here, I'm telling you, it's a struggle, but it's worth it in community. Lean in. Don't be lied to. And again, we struggled to get to the point of having children and leaning in and enjoying just my husband and our marriage together and not holding my breath and hoping for the next thing. It's really hard to do, but I think that my dad always says that the enemy of good is better. And we always think there's better, and we can despise the day of small beginnings. So just entreating us to mm-hmm. love each other where we are and to enjoy and lean into the season that we're in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks. We're going to begin to wrap up our time here. And Gentry shared just something that she's been doing in her life that's been really life-giving to her. And so will you share that with us? Yeah.
So something that I've found really helpful over the past 3 years or so has been just to be using a prayer book to structure my prayer time. It helps keep me focused, but it also leads me to praying scripture and ancient prayers that are full of truth about who God is and who I am as his child. So, and just like the prayers we pray here together on Sunday mornings have become just an anchor in my week, these morning and evening prayers have become an anchor of truth in my day. So as I go out into the day and the internal and external voices just don't have as much power because I've already agreed with God about what's true. Mm-hmm. And a book that's been specifically helpful I read this year for Lent, which is titled Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers by Dane Ortlund. And if you've been here, at Ash Wednesday, when we receive the sign of the cross on our foreheads, the pastors say, "From dust you have come, and to dust you will return. So turn from your sin and believe the good news that Jesus loves you." And this book has shown me the love of Jesus in a way that I haven't really understood it before. His love for us isn't obligatory. He's full of great affection and longing for us. Mm. We hold up a mother's love as like the ultimate in patience and unconditional love, but I'm a mom and I know my own heart and I fail in that every single day. So I think what's been helpful partially about this book is that it challenges our human tendency to project the broken ways that we relate to one another, project those onto God. So I'll close with a quote from the book, and he says, "He isn't like you. Even the most intense of human love is but the faintest echo of heaven's cascading abundance. His heartful thoughts for you outstrip what you can conceive. He intends to restore you into the radiant resplendence for which you were created. And that is dependent not on you keeping yourself clean, but on you taking your mess to him." And that's really good news.
That's awesome. Thank you. I can take that. Thank you, guys. I want to read this prayer over you guys as we close out today. It comes from the New Testament, from the book of Ephesians, written by Paul, a follower of Jesus, to the church in Ephesus. If you're new to church, new to reading the Bible, new to faith, Ephesians is a great little mini book, kind of gives an overview of the story of God and the gospel. So it comes from chapter 3. It says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Amen. At this moment, we take just a short break to greet one another, and then we come back and finish with some worship and communion. So if you guys will stand with me. May the peace of Christ be with you.
With you.